उवाच भगवानपि वैकुण्ठः साकं मघवता विभु यज्ञैर्यज्ञपतिस्तुष्टो यज्ञभुक्तम् अभाषत.
The great sage Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, being very much satisfied by the performance of 99 horse sacrifice, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, appeared on the scene. Accompanying him was King Indra, Lord Vishnu, then began to speak."
So yesterday we discussed that Brahmaji came and suggested that Prithu stop that sacrifice. 99 sacrifices are sufficient for him. So Prithu agreed, and now in that sacrificial arena the Supreme Lord is coming. So satisfied with 99 sacrifices, the Lord appeared along with Indra. That's a wonderful thing to note down, that the Lord came along with Indra. So here the Lord also apparently doesn't seem to be chastising Indra, but he's only bringing Indra to take shelter of Prithu, or requesting Prithu to forgive Indra. That way, that's what is happening. So Vishnu, then he came and then he began to speak. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Yeshate Karshid Bhagnam Hayamedha Shatasyah Kshamapayata Atmanam Amushyakshantumarhasi.
Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of God, has said, "My dear King Prithu, Indra, the King of Heaven, has disturbed your execution of 100 sacrifices. Now he has come with me to be forgiven by you. Therefore, excuse him."
When Indra committed a mistake, committed an offense towards Krishna himself, Sarabhi came to Krishna and said, "Oh, forgive Indra." Now, Indra did Vaishnava Aparad. So earlier he did Vishnu Aparad. Now he is doing Vaishnava Aparad. And Vishnu Aparad he did, another Vaishnav or Vaishnavi came and requested the Lord to forgive Indra. Now he did Vaishnava Aparad. Vishnu himself is coming and requesting Prithu to forgive Indra. So, in Vaishnava, circles are filled with an attitude of forgiveness. So, you don't find many Vaishnava stories much with filled with revenge, anger, heavy punishments. So these things are generally not common in Vaishnava circles. Forgiveness, tolerance, being accommodative. So that is generally found. Yeah, some strictness is definitely there. Strictness also is there in Vaishnava circles, and chastisements are there. But generally it's like when this kind of events happen, forgiveness is given more importance. Even Brahmaji was forgiven, finally, after Brahmaho Leela. After bewildering him, Lord forgave him. Okay, now, chalega. Go back and do your duties. Don't worry so much. Like that. So Indra, who has disturbed your 100th sacrifice, is seeking forgiveness from you. So you should excuse. An intelligent devotee does not take action against the soul or the body. If there is any discrepancy, he forgives. Forgiveness is a quality of those who are advancing in spiritual knowledge. The more you are getting agitated by someone else's behavior, we need to understand that I need to improve a lot. Right? Not that an exalted Vaishnava doesn't get disturbed at all by other people's behavior or dealings, etc. But an exalted Vaishnava is inclined to forgive that other person who is causing disturbance to him. This, now you see, we read in so many purports in the third canto also that Kardamuni's episode and other episodes. Not that there are no miseries in a devotee's life, but devotee is not affected by them. Similarly, not that a Vaishnava is never troubled by anyone else. He is troubled by other people, but he forgives. Right? Because he has a forgiving attitude, in the true sense, he is not experiencing the trouble. Right? So, because he sees one step deeper than the just external interaction. Right? Externally something is happening. So he is able to see one layer behind. Now you see an object is kept here and a cover. Now you see the water is inside. You are putting the cover here. You are unable to see water. You are only seeing the cover. You are carried away by the cover. Some people may not even understand that, oh, inside there is water. But someone who is knowledgeable, he will understand. If you remove the cover, inside there is water. I can drink it. It will mitigate my thirst. So materialistic people are neophyte people. They see the cover and they miss to see the substance inside the water, inside the glass. They are carried away by the lid. Similarly, all the Vaishnavas, like many Vaishnavas who are struggling Vaishnavas, who are neophyte people or who are just advancing Vaishnavas, not advanced Vaishnavas, so they have so many shortcomings. And what is seen on the surface is their shortcomings generally, but not so much their inside depth and their aspiration and their purity is not very much evident. Right? So internally what prayer is going on inside him when he goes in front of the deities, what kind of prayer he is offering, how much he is struggling with his shortcomings and how much he wants to come out of it. Like, we may not understand, but we may judge people by their external behavior or some shortcomings or some whatever, not up to the mark dealings, these kind of things, we may be carried away. But when will this question of forgiveness come into picture? I will be able to tolerate this person with all his shortcomings. Yesterday I was saying, right, I am there in the association of other devotees just because they have accepted me along with my shortcomings. If they focus more on my shortcomings and they don't focus on whatever little good I have, then they won't be allowing me to stay along with them. Right? Now you see, you are staying with 20 people. 19 people have complaints against you. Will you stay there? You can't stay there. 19 people are staring at you. You have a certain shortcoming, they are staring at you, or they are blaspheming you, they are chastising you, they are complaining against you to other people. Then you don't feel fine. One thing is, they don't want you. Second thing, you don't feel like staying there only. Because 19 people are not favorable to you. But why we are still continuing here? Because we are not made so uncomfortable with the glances of other people. Because they are not glancing sufficiently. Why they are not glancing on us sufficiently? Because they are focusing on the little good that I have and they are neglecting or ignoring whatever shortcomings I have. So that gives hope. Means we are around because of the mercy of other Vaishnavas. So now that's an element of forgiveness. When others are forgiving me, why can't I forgive them when they do some mistake? Right? So, Vaishnava doesn't see on the physical platform and he will forgive. That's what the Acharyas are saying here. So, he doesn't take any action against the soul or even the body also. Right? Now you see, third verse. Sudhiyaha sadhavo loke Naradeva narottamaha नाभिद्रुह्यन्ति भूतेभ्यो यर्हिनात्मा कलेवरम्.
O king, one who is advanced in intelligence and eager to perform welfare activities for others is considered best among human beings. An advanced human being is never malicious to others. Those with advanced intelligence are always conscious that this material body is different from the soul.
This is a very important point that the Lord is making. He is speaking about intelligent people. Sudhiyaha sadhavo loki. Sudhiyaha means one who has good intelligence. Sudhiyaha, sadhava, who are inclined to perform good to others. Sadhava. So such people, and one more thing he said, Naradeva Narottamah. So Naradeva is a king. Narottamah means best of human beings. Generally king is considered Narottama, Narauttama. So intelligent people who are inclined to perform good welfare activities for others, means Sudhiya people who are actually sadhavas, are never malicious towards others. Na abhi druhyanti. Druhyanti means to cause harm towards others, to have malicious intentions towards others. So na abhi druhyanti bhutebhyo. Bhuta means other living entities. Yarhi na atma kalevaram. So atma is body, atma is soul, and kalevaram is body, right? So they understand that atma is not kalevaram. Yarhi natma kalevaram. This kalevaram is not atma. This body is not soul. They understand the difference between the body and the soul. Soul is always pure. Body may be contaminated. Body is always contaminated because it's material body. And you can keep the body pure externally, but internal body also has to be pure. That means purifying one's subtle body, mind, intelligence and ego. So behind this gross and subtle bodies is the soul, which is different from these gross and subtle coverings. Prabhupada writes in the first canto, third chapter, self-realization means to neglect the needs of the gross and subtle bodies, or the demands of gross and subtle bodies, and focusing on the self. 1.3.43.44 somewhere he says this. So what that is self-realization. To surpass the demands of gross and subtle bodies and focusing on the soul is self-realization. But as long as we are in this body, we need to take care of the gross body and we need to take care of ours and other subtle bodies also. Unless there is some kind of peace and equilibrium and favorable situation to the mind, we cannot exist properly in the midst of so many people. Mind also needs some kind of satisfaction, not so much. So, understand the difference between the body and soul. Then, he begins like that. Basically, this whole discussion that the Lord is initiating here, up to 12th verse, is Lord gives Prithu Maharaj knowledge about the body, about the soul, and about the super soul. And this basic knowledge about the body, soul, and super soul will lead to bhakti. It may seem like jnana. This foundational knowledge is relevant in all paths of self-realization. So he gives this jnana knowledge that ultimately leads to bhakti. And why he is saying this in this context? Understand this point. The science of body, soul and super soul, and forgive Indra, right? So now the situation is very significant here. Indra did a mistake. Brahmaji is not chastising him. Then Vishnu is not chastising him. But both of them are telling Prithu Maharaj, please forgive him. It seems total injustice, thorough injustice. But yesterday we have elaborately discussed on this subject, right? It's not about injustice, it is more about the glorification of Prithu Maharaj and seeing a higher purpose behind this external negotiations of who is right, who is wrong, right? A higher purpose. So now these are the lessons of forgiveness by enlightening him on the knowledge of soul. When a madman commits murder, even high court judge excuses him. Hey, mad fellow. When a small boy, child, 4-5 year old boy, just his father may be, say, police officer. He just wants to take the pistol. Papa, I want to see your pistol. And then he does like triggers like that, and one fellow died. Right? So, the boy will not be punished. Death sentence. How can you kill somebody? Right? Imprisonment. No? Child is child. It's the father's responsibility to keep the pistol properly, inaccessible to the child. So when a madman commits murder, even high court judge excuses him. Similarly, the living entity or the soul doesn't do anything. Everything is done by the influence of modes. So a deceased man may be sympathized and forgiven. Similarly, advanced transcendentalists or sudhiyas, they show forgiveness. Forgiveness is the quality of those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge. Deceased man may be sympathized and forgiven. So, why this is coming here? My dear Prithu, please understand this point. Soul is always pure. The other day I was giving this example, a golden ring falling into gutter, SBT tank, right? So that doesn't lose its value, right? Will you say, you fell into gutter tank, septic tank, whatever, Suez Canal, I won't wear you. Will anyone say like that? Pick up, wash it, wear it. That's what anyone does, right? He will not reject gold. So just because the golden, the valuable object became dirty or it is like covered by some abominable substance, it doesn't lose its shine, it doesn't lose its value. At the same time, a person, an intelligent person who sees this, he will not condemn it. Right? He will not reject it. He will not criticize it. Is it not? Without any argument, he will pick it up, wash it and wear it, use it and give it the same value as he was giving before. Right? He will not minimize its value in any way. Similarly, the soul is always pure. Just because of the influence of modes, the soul may be doing some mistake once in a while. That doesn't mean you condemn the person. Right? So whatever Prithu Indra has done is only because of the influence of modes. So modes are to be condemned. And ultimately modes also should not be condemned. Because modes are Lord's energies. Means, if you just use your intelligence and analyze, there is no one who is supposed to be blamed. Everyone is receiving opportunities in life to become mature. Everyone is receiving opportunities in life to see Krishna's hand in all circumstances and come one step closer to Krishna. Any interaction, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, we have an opportunity to see Krishna's hand behind that happening and come one step closer to Krishna. Increase our love towards Krishna. This is the perspective that Bhagavatam often presents. This is the example that is set by many advanced devotees in Bhagavatam. Kunti Maharani, Bhagavatam begins like that, right? In the first canto, Kunti Maharani says, Vipadaschantuta shashvatatra tatra jagadguru bhavato darshanam yat syat apunar bhava darshanam. Let all the calamities come again. So if you see Kunti Maharani's prayers, she is not criticizing Duryodhan. She was not condemning Shakuni. You notice their prayers? All these are villains. She is not even condemning this Dhritarashtra and all these people who troubled them, Karana, etc., etc. Right? She had just mentioned Asat Sabhayam. Asat is the only one word, which is a realistic description. She can't say Asat Sabha, Sat Sabha. Or satsang. Aisa thodi bol sakte. She just gave a realistic description. But otherwise, she was not blaming anyone. She is becoming grateful to Krishna that, my dear Krishna, all these calamities that happened in our life gave us an opportunity to come closer to you. They just gave us an opportunity to come closer to you and let the calamities come again and again. Let our daughter-in-law be disrobed again, no problem. Let some man-eater come and then attack my son again, no problem. Let so many people conspire and kill my son by putting poison, Bhima, right? Let that happen again. That's what she's saying. If only we get to come closer to you. So that's the lesson that Bhagavatam repeatedly gives us. Fourth verse.
Purushayadi muhyantim tvadrisha deva mayaya shrama eva param jato dirghaya vruddha sevaya. If a personality like you, who are so much advanced because of executing the instruction of the previous acharyas, is carried away by the influence of my material energy, then all your advancement may be considered simply a waste of time.
If such an advanced personality, great devotee like you, even Krishna is, Vishnu is acknowledging Prithu's greatness, right? So you are very advanced. He says, Purusha yadi muhyanti tvadrisha deva maya. Tvadrisha, a personality like you, muhyanti, if they get bewildered, deva maya ya, with the Lord's illusory energy, then all that advancement is a waste of time. And one important point that he says is, shrama eva param jato dirghaya vruddha sevaya. Vruddha sevaya means serving elders, serving superiors. So you have a track record of serving vruddhas. It could be jnana vruddha or vayo vruddha and any other vruddha, someone who is superior. So serving an elderly person or superior person makes one very advanced. Service to great souls will make one advanced, even in one's material position or spiritual position. For example, if you happen to be the favorite student of your professor in your college, professor is a very popular person. Oh, you're a student of that person. Your project is guided by him. For example, so many great professors are there in big, big institutes like IITs and IISs. If you go and claim to be a student or the project candidate under one guide, then seeing you, some companies will give you more value. Because, oh, this professor has contributed a lot. He has published 100 papers. He has done very wonderful research in whatever speech processing or image processing, digital signal processing. There are different areas. And many companies utilize this knowledge to make their products and projects, right? So, means if you go to a relevant company where a research is going on a certain field, so they know the Mahajans of that field. Good professors. When I was applying for TCS, Tata Consultancy Services, Innovation Labs, that was a total research lab on speech processing, language processing and general signal processing, right? So I did my PG from IISc under one professor, and I had good recommendations from 3-4 other professors, right? So seeing those recommendations, they gave a lot of value. Are you? Professor V. Ramasubramanyam is giving you recommendations. Are you? So like that, my boss was impressed, right? So because they have certain fame, these professors, when you are connected with them, we are seen as exalted, right? Similarly, in spiritual circles, oh, you are the disciple of so-and-so, you are the follower of Prabhupada, right? You are connected to Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. So like that, there are different signals that people get just by seeing your parentage, whether it is material parentage or spiritual parentage or material education or spiritual education, whatever. Oh, you are the son of so-and-so person, who is a very popular personality in that village or in that town. Everybody knows him. He's such a great industrialist. Or he's like a village tahsil there. Oh, you're his son. Oh, great. Right? So, our connection to great people and especially our service to great people. These two things. And if you do something wrong, that will be a blame on them also. So Vriddha Sevaya. So the point is Vriddha Sevaya. If you render service to great people in material circles or spiritual circles, that will make you also advanced. So when such an advanced personality like you are bewildered by Maya, what is the use of your advancement? That means when someone commits some offense against you, and if you do not have the ability to forgive such a person, all your advancement is waste. That's what ultimately Krishna is saying, Vishnu is saying here. Right? What is the context here? In the previous verse he said, please forgive Indra. Second verse, he is saying that if you don't forgive Indra, that means you are bewildered by Maya and your advancement is useless. Right? Who cannot forgive? One who is bewildered by Maya cannot forgive. Simple. Even if it is your responsibility to guide people and correct people and even punish people when they do some mistake, you may have to do that, but internally there should be an attitude of forgiveness, kindness, compassion. You understand this? Sometimes a guru also may chastise a disciple. He may punish a disciple. He may say, you fast for one day. You cannot eat today. Sometimes a guru may say that. Right? Sometimes a guru may give very... You have to finish this by evening 5 p.m. Bus. It's not possible. We have to do. Lot of pressure also may come. Right? Because you have been spacing out last 5 days, so today you have to overwork and finish it at any cost. Tomorrow morning I need it. Right? So he may say that a lot of pressure may come. But the internally, such an advanced personality will hold forgiveness on him. You have done a mistake. I have forgiven you already. But I am becoming heavy with you in this context so that you don't commit this kind of mistake again. I am your genuine well-wisher. So that well-wishing attitude and that forgiving attitude should never be given up by a superior person. Although he may have to become strict with his subordinate. Getting right? It's a very important deep principle. If we give up our attitude of forgiveness, if we are unable to forgive people, that means one is bewildered by Maya and one's advancement is not very substantial. It's waste of time, Krishna says, Vishnu says. So illusion consists of 5 things. Prabhupada writes, sense gratification, speculation, elevation to heavenly planets, political emancipation, social and humanitarian activities. Prabhupada says, all these are illusion only. So the basic principle of all these things, or you may add 10 more things in the list, the basic principle of all of this is bodily conception. When someone thinks that I am this body, then he is under illusion. Under that illusion, all these things will come. Speculation, sense gratification, etc. So bodily conception is 2 things. I think that I am this body, then I start thinking that this fellow is also this body only. This person is this body. Right? So one is unable to see that one layer behind. Bodily covering, if you remove, what is there inside? That's pure spirit soul. But they are carried away by this body. Lid. Right? The people see only lid. They don't see the water inside. This is body and this is inside is their soul. You see the mirror? Steel, achhe. Burai. But inside that there is substance. These are all external covering only. So that's what Krishna is trying to teach. Prithu Maharaj. We'll go till 1:30. Fine? Because we started late because morning class got late. Chalega? Yeah. Yes, you can ask now. Now we have covered 5 verses. No? 1 minute. Whatever we desire to perform under bodily conception is illusion. So there is no need to perform 100 sacrifices. Ultimately, all these sacrifices are meant for what? Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. Vedic sacrifices prescribed in the Vedas are under the purview of 3 modes. Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Ultimately, we need to become nistraigunya. We need to come out of the modes. Means the sacrifice conduction is not necessary. That's what Vishnu is also saying. Right? So, because It is necessary for a neophyte person. It is unnecessary for someone at the level of Prithu. That's what he's saying. The Lord expects devotee to perform transcendental activity, not a substandard, a mundane religious activity. So you don't need to perform 100 sacrifices, right? Like that. Yes, Prabhu. Chakradari Prabhu. You can ask.
I always get confused by this, but whenever this concept of, you know, that we are not the like here Vishnu is saying, similarly even in Dhruva Maharaj's pastime also, Brahmaji says to, sorry, not Brahmaji, Manu I think tells to Dhruva also, if I'm not wrong, you know.
Correct.
That these Yakshas, they were not the people who killed your brother actually.
Correct.
Right? So actually Prabhu, they say that maybe they were influenced by the modes, something, the modes are the causes and all. Certainly, like we read from Bhagavad Gita also, no, that, you know, that we are not the lone cause of the, you know, we are not the only person who, we are only desiring. The action is confounded by multiple, I think, five factors of action, something we hear, you know. So there may be multiple factors of action, the Surum, Paramatma, time, place, circumstance, blah, blah, and other things. But the responsible person is we, because, you know, it all started from the trigger, from that concept of desiring. So even though there are other factors which are contributing to the action of a particular action, particular thing, event, but the person who is desiring, he is the one who is responsible. The super soul, the supreme, the Lord is also one of the factors, but Lord is not responsible. That is the reason we call him is detached. Although his you know, that material energy is acting. It's creating, it's making it happen. So his energy is making it happen, but still he is aloof. Because in prayers we hear, repeatedly we hear this concept. Mm. The Supreme Lord is also not responsible. So who is responsible, you know? Because, who is the cause? Not cause, causes are multiple maybe, but the responsible person, you know, is the person who is desiring it. I'm just confirming that. So which means, like, even the arguments Brahma, Manu gave there, or the Lord is giving here, we agree your argument is right, but that doesn't make the person irresponsible, and so which means, you know, he is supposed to be acted. So certainly you may punish him, but don't develop malice against him. That is one thing Vishnu is telling in this particular thing. But in the Manu thing, though, no, there I was wondering that if this is the logic, then this can be applied in other places also. Why only, you know, then why even, I mean, many places actually, you know, that I just struggle. Yeah, so if you could little bit explain about when this kind, because this prayers, Prabhu, I think there are so many places, even in Mahabharata also, it repeats, you know, Yudhishthira, when Bhima was disturbed, I think they go to Draupadi, there she explains, when Draupadi is disturbed, Yudhishthira Maharaj tells, you know. So many places this aspect comes about not developing malice towards a person who causes harm and all. That is okay, but the reason is that, no, because he is not the cause actually, okay. So that aspect, if you could little bit elaborate.
Yes.
It would be nice, Prabhu.
I remember one, I always remember this, one beautiful example that Gauram Prabhu gave during our VTA classes, 2008. So, he just made a simple statement that Shastras are like mother. Mother may sometimes slap the child, sometimes may hug the child. But mother's nature is not contradictory. It is just tuned into the mood of the child. When the child is doing mischief, he needs chastisement. Mother may slap him or punish him, scold him. And when the child is like nicely behaving, and then he's like cute and then like well behaved, then mother always is affectionate. But behind that slap also there is an affection, there is a concern, right? Similarly, scriptures, they present examples, extreme examples. Sometimes the logic that made sense in that context, if you put it in some other place, it may not make that much sense. Sometimes the mercy that Krishna shows on some people, if you generalize it, everybody will become irresponsible. And sometimes the strictness that with which Krishna deals a person, if you make that as the ultimate thing, people will be afraid of coming into bhakti only. Getting right? So there are, like, in different contexts, different points are highlighted. For example, aho bakiyam stanakala kootam jighamsa yapaya yadapya sadhvi. Lebhe gatim dhatri uchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. In the episode of Putana, Putana was given the position of a mother, although she came with a malicious intention to kill Krishna. Such an extreme mercy. Aghasur came with a malicious intention to kill the entire Vrajavasi community. All the demons were attacking Krishna, but Aghasur's intention is like really malicious amongst all the other demons also. Aghasur thought, I'll kill these calves, I'll kill these boys, and thus all the cows and all the parents of these boys also will die. Entire Vrajavasi thing will be like completely smashed. So, but Aghasur was given liberation. Right? Aghasur entered the body of the Lord. So in that context, Chakravartipada writes that Krishna is extremely merciful, especially in his Vrindavan. When he descends as an incarnation, especially in Vrindavan, his mercy is unimaginable. On the other hand, Chitraketu gave a small feedback to whom? Shiva. He was cursed to become a demon. This Bharat Maharaj, who is on the Bhava platform, who he became attached to a deer, he became over compassionate to a deer, then had to take an animal body, deer body. Right? So now there are extreme mercy cases. Putana is delivered and Bharat Maharaj is punished. Aghasur is delivered and Chitraketu got punished. Right? So now there are extreme strict cases and extreme mercy cases. Now, a king should take responsibility of citizens and family members, everything. We see that in many episodes, right? King's duties. And when Kardamamuni was glorifying Manu, or when Prithu Maharaj was being glorified, and in Vindishtra Maharaj was enthroned, when Parikshit Maharaj was ruling the citizens. So in various contexts, how a king is supposed to behave nicely, so that is very wonderfully described. On the other hand, when Dhritarashtra and Gandhari and Vidura left the palace in the middle of the night, and Yudhishthira was lamenting, Arjuna, Narada Muni immediately comes and says, Ahastani sahastanam apadani chitushpadam falguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. You are thinking that you are maintaining these people. You are not maintaining. You are thinking that because you are not taking care of them, they may die in the forest. No, jivo jivasya jivanam. It's Krishna who is doing everything. Krishna has created a wonderful system by which people can sustain depending on other living entities. Right? So then, where is the question of responsibility? King is supposed to be responsible. King's responsibilities are highlighted in one context. And here he is saying that, King, you are thinking that you are responsible. Right? Their responsibility is on you. No, they will take care of themselves. You do your service, let them do their service. Right? Here that principle is emphasized. So all these principles we need to see in context and apply in proper context. Now, in one context, in Dhromara's case and Swayambhu Manu's case, in the discussion in 4th canto, 10th and 11th chapters, 11th chapter especially, what was highlighted is, Dhruva, don't think that Yakshas have killed. Right? Everything is happening by Krishna's will. And here Krishna is saying, Vishnu is saying, don't think that Indra has stolen your horse or whatever. Don't think that Indra is responsible. Modes are influencing. Under the influence of modes, the conditioned soul is working in various ways and you are developing enmity or malice towards that soul. But soul is pure. Right? One should not envy the body because it's after all matter. One should not envy the soul. It's always pure. Then who is to be blamed? So no one is to be blamed. That is the message given in one context. Right? You have to take responsibility. That is the message given in another context. Right? So all these are perfectly valid discussions. Although when you see that out of that context, they may seem irrelevant. Right? Now you see, when someone is... Now how to apply this? In our practical utility, like how do we actually look in terms of practical utility? For example, somebody is becoming very slack in his devotional service. he's not doing sadhana. For example, 1 month he doesn't attend Mangal Arati. He's not chanting even 16 rounds. Then you need to tell him, Prabhu. Now, and he's not able to follow his basic sadhana. If it is out of callousness, then you need to tell him, Prabhu, Bharat Maharaj's ka sadhana, how wonderful it is, you know. But still he had to become an animal. So when someone is callous, then you tell him a strict dealing of Krishna with a devotee. When someone is very morose, Prabhu, I am not qualified, I am so sinful, I am so offensive, I am unable to do my services properly, I am displeasing devotees. When someone's moral is too down, tell him, Prabhu, Putana is delivered. You are doing much better than Putana. Right? Jagaya Madhar delivered. You, Jagaya Madhar, you are there. Right? So to encourage people, quote the merciful incident from scriptures. To caution people, Bahujanma kare yadi shravana kirtan. That you speak. Right? You cannot get love of Krishna, although you chant your mala. Right, along with your disappearance, your mala also will disappear. By chanting hundreds and thousands of rounds, right, mala will become small, beats will become small, right, they will be like running out. So, although you do, you chanting, hearing and chanting, you do for millions of lifetimes, still you may not get love of Godhead if you do mistakes and if you do offenses. That's why you have to quote, because this fellow has become callous, right, overconfident. When someone is overconfident, you have to reduce his overconfidence. When someone is morally is down, you need to encourage them by quoting merciful incidents. Right? So now, situationally, from the scripture point of view, there are different contexts in which these statements are made. But we cannot apply them out of context. When someone is callous, then you tell him, Hare, Putana is delivered so easily. Just one holy name is sufficient. Ajamil did, 88 years. He led such a sinful life. Just one Narayana. He is delivered. Don't worry. Let him continue like that. That's not the thing that you need to say in the context of a person who is overconfident and purposely committing mistakes. So here also,
as I give one example, actually when I'm saying, I'm trying to reflect with our real-time example.
What I said made sense?
Makes sense so far. The situation is little more complicated. For example, let's say you are a security in charge, there is one fellow who is continuously stealing chappal every time. Chappals are getting lost. And one day somehow, he was caught. And now in this world, everyone who is doing a wrong thing, he must be having some background. Maybe his parents didn't take care of him. Hundreds of things, So, but when we are acting, there is an immediate cause, interim cause, and ultimate
cause. That I already clarified. If you see, I can understand what you are trying to mention.
So one thing, if you act on him, somebody says, "Arey, unka bachar is in tamogon more sir acting," So.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
So,
on an external level, you need to do the infra. I already mentioned in the class.
No, exactly, Prabhuji. But no, that's why I'm referring to Manu case also. Manu, one of the reason he asked him to stop is that he is not the cause. So don't leave him. So that is the thing. Actually, there's one thing called act on a person. Another thing called don't develop developing malice. So that aspect, okay, fine. This logic applies there because see him as a pure personality, and ultimately he is a. Like for example, if somebody is shouting on us, we don't have to shout back on him. Rather, we feel sorry for him, how much he is suffering because of shouting, like that. So, so similarly, internally you can develop forgiveness. But externally we have to act whatever way.
Correct.
But in the case of Manu, I think...
I think we need to see it from 4th canto 10th chapter onwards, not only 11th chapter. In the beginning, when Dhruva Maharaj was going towards Alakapuri to punish the Yakshas who unceremoniously killed his brother. Prabhupada supported him, Chakravarti Pad supported him. Dhruva Maharaj is correct in his initiative to punish the Yakshas. So, when his anger went beyond limits, it became uncontrollable and he is trying to kill so many yakshas, although it is not necessary, then Manu came and gave him counseling. Getting right? So, Dhruva Maharaj's inclination to take action, that is proper, justified.
Actually, for us also, that was very clear, but that is when he started it was right, but you know that anger overtook him, and at that point it was not appropriate. That all the acharyas comment on that, it's okay. And when Manu tells on that front, it's acceptable. That are you are now, you know, instead of you using anger, anger is using you, you know. But the see, there may be five reasons to show that to stop the war, but the, this particular point that he is not the cause, that front, you know, I was finding it difficult.
Ultimately, see, sometimes you may have to speak the ultimate reason, then only people will be pacified. Ultimately modes are acting, and ultimately Krishna is acting. Ultimately he is not the doer. So the non-doership he has to highlight in that context.
That is not in itself has a standing to not fight, Haina Proji, if I am not wrong. You know, just reconfirming my understanding. So that point of that ultimately the modes are responsible, that in itself is not the, cannot be a valid justification to not fight. There are other reasons why you should not fight, because he's already killed so many people and he's already done enough damage. That's sufficient.
It's a valid reason, but it is not the only valid reason. It's one of the very important reasons. Right? So now that may not be applied in 4th kind of 10th chapter when he was beginning to fight. Right? So now, like sometimes you may have to speak the ultimate things. Oh, Krishna is the cause of all causes. But still you need to deal with the local causes, intermediate causes. Right? So there is a discussion about the ultimate cause also. You can't say that it is irrelevant. It is relevant. But its relevance has to be applied subjectively according to the time, place and circumstances. Krishna is definitely merciful, but not to a callous person. So that doesn't, Krishna's mercy doesn't make you, that should not make you very callous and overconfident. Right? So this is, we need to apply according to time, place, circumstances. There is no replacement for maturity to apply things according to time, place, circumstances. All the arguments given by Manu are valid, and it was very contextual. So that we, but when we pull it out of context and then do, putting apply in some other context, it may become wrong. And when the mercy thing is happening, we'll try to put it on ourselves, apply to ourselves. When strictness is happening, we may apply it to others. That's not the way. When it comes to taking responsibility, when I'm involved, I'll take responsibility. When someone else is involved, externally you may say it's your responsibility, you didn't do, you may have to give him feedback. But internally you understand that he's not responsible.
That will make us feel easily forgive also, and also develop, empathy for the future.
Correct. So Vaishnava takes responsibility and becomes strict on himself and becomes liberal to others. This high ultimate philosophies you may apply in other people's context, and they are unable to forgive. Okay, I think we did long discussion. That's why we question answers were restricted sometimes. Sometimes, but it's needed, I understand. correct. But we had discussion after the class. These two devotees, they had questions. 6th verse. Asamsaktaha sharirasmin अमुनोत्पादिते गृहे अपत्ये द्रविणे वापि कः कुर्यान् ममतां बुध.
Be affected by the bodily conception in regard to house, children, wealth and similar other bodily productions.
So he's continuing that a learned person, a devotee, he should not be affected so much by bodily conception, house, children, etc. So these Vedic rituals are certainly meant to satisfy the Lord Vishnu. However, by Vedic rituals one cannot factually satisfy the Lord, but he tries to satisfy his own senses with the sanction of the Lord. Right? It's like a licensed sense gratification. Vedic rituals are meant to satisfy the Lord. Vignarthat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma vandhana. But in that name, he tries to satisfy his own self, that a general Vedic sacrifice performer. Right? But when it is performed by a devotee, there are different contexts, in different reasons for it. Devotees generally are They take part in these Vedic rituals because, especially devotee kings, they need to set right examples for people in general. If they neglect the Vedic ceremonies, becoming transcendental, Harinam, sufficient. Other people who like give so much importance to Vedic rituals, they think that these people are very responsible. They don't even do this, huh? Right? So some protocols, some general protocols are like followed by exalted devotees also, so that they can stay connected with the local people and create some transformation in their hearts. Right? Otherwise, they are seen aliens. They are totally seen as aliens, right? These people. You can't connect with people, you can't preach. Right? You can't, there will not be anyone who can relate with you. You become irrelevant in the society if you become too transcendental to certain regular protocols. Right? Then people will not respect and they will not be connected to Krishna. Right? That's why devotees also have certain responsibilities towards observing some social customs. Right? So now somebody who at home passed away or some function happens. Okay. Sometimes it becomes a responsibility of a brahmacharya also to have to go and then console people if they are affected, or assist people if they are sick, family members, or do the needful, basic. Not compromising too much, but taking out some time and extending yourself to attend to that cause also without compromising your devotional service. Take little break. Okay, you go, stay for a week and then come back. So that people, he is also concerned about us, he is not indifferent. Otherwise people will think, bhakti will make people indifferent. Bhakti will make people proud. Bhakti will make people callous towards social customs or Vedic rituals or other whatever protocols, relationships, etc. Right. But ultimately through these Vedic rituals one is only trying to satisfy their own senses more than satisfying the Lord. Okay, I want to satisfy my senses, but I will do that as a sacrifice to Vishnu, so that it becomes licensed. That way. Seventh verse.
Ekashuddha Swayam Jyotir Nirgunosav Gunashrayaham Sarvago Navritaha Shakshi Niratmatmatmanaha Paraham.
The individual soul is one, pure, non-material and self-effulgent. He is the reservoir of all good qualities and he is all-pervading. He is without material covering and he is the witness of all activities. He is completely distinguished from other living entities and he is transcendental to all embodied souls.
So people with knowledge of body and soul can equip themselves further with knowledge of the super soul also. So in the seventh verse, the Lord gives the knowledge of the super soul, and Chakvartipad Acharyas are just drawing parallels between, not parallels, what to say, comparisons between the Lord and the living entity. Lord is ekaha, means one. But conditioned souls are aneka, unlimited. Shuddha, he is pure. Conditioned soul is impure. Swayam Jyotir, he is self-effulgent, the Lord. Soul is not self-effulgent. Nirguna, Lord is without material qualities. Conditioned soul is saguna, with material qualities. Like that, you can see Bhagavad Subodhini also. For each of these words, there are corresponding opposite words that are descriptions of conditioned soul. Lord is gunashrayaha, means gunas take ashraya of him. He is the reservoir of all good qualities. And conditioned soul is guna ashritaha. He is engaged in material activities, material qualities. Lord is sarvago. He is able to go anywhere and everywhere. But conditioned soul is restricted. His movements are restricted. Anavritaha. Lord is uncovered by matter. But conditioned soul is avritaha, covered by matter. Lord is sakshi, witness of all living entities, all activities. Conditioned soul is asakshi, not a witness. Then, ninth characteristic is Niratmanatmanaha. The Lord is independent of the jiva, atma. But the soul is dependent on the super soul. Lord is transcendental. Soul is also transcendental, but a conditioned soul's transcendental quality is covered. that way. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, he quotes Chakravartipada and says, Vishnu is describing himself, Paramatma, here. Vishnu is fully cognizant, one should know about his constitutional position and the Supreme Lord's constitutional position. So that's the verse, and Chakravartipada's purport especially, they compare the qualities very wonderfully. Soul versus super soul, that is the theme of the purport. So the summary table is there in Bhagavad Subodhini, you can see. Eighth verse. Ya evam santam atmanam atmastham veda purushah najyate prakritisthopi tadgunaihi samayasthitah.
Although within the material nature, one who is thus situated in full knowledge of Paramatma and Atma is never affected by the modes of material nature, for he is always situated in my transcendental loving service.
So, the result of developing this knowledge of Atma, Paramatma is that one is unaffected by material modes. So, one is not affected by material modes if he has proper knowledge. Although one is situated in this material body, still he is not affected. Prakritisthaha. Ya evam santam atmanam atmastham veda purushaha. So, atmastham, then prakritistho. Na najyate, na ijyate prakritisthopi. Although he is in this prakriti, although he is in this material world, still he is unaffected. So, that's what the Lord very emphatically declares here. So, in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, Mamchayo avibhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. One who is unflinchingly engaged in devotional service surpasses this stage. No, this verse is there already. Hayasya harer dasya karmana manasagira nikhilashvapyavasthasu jivan muktaha sa uchyati. Right, so one is called Jivan Mukta, although he is staying in this world, he is called Jivan Mukta if he engages in devotional service. And another verse, first canto verse, Prakriti Sthopi Tad Gunaihi Nayujyate. What is that verse? Etad Ishanam Ishasya Prakriti Sthopi Tad Gunaihi. You know this verse? Atma Vidyatil. Nayujyate Sadatmaste. Yatha buddhis tadashreyaha. Right? Where did you learn this verse? You remember? Akrishna, you don't remember? No. Yeah, that happens little before. When he entered the queen's quarters, this comes after Uddama Bhava Pishunamala Valguhasa Viridavaloka Nihato Madanopiya. That verse you remember at least? Uddama Bhava, you remember? This also you should remember, very important verse. Etat Ishanam Ishasya means Etat Ishanam. Ishanam means divinity. Ishasya. The Supreme Lord's divinity is like this. What is that? Prakriti Sthopi. Although he is in contact with matter, he is orchestrating material creation, maintenance and destruction. Still, Tad Gunaihi Nayujyate. He is not affected by the qualities of material nature. Now you remember. Hari Nayujyate Sadatmasthar Yatha Buddhi Tadashreha. Not only the Lord is unaffected by matter, although he deals with matter, even his own devotees also are unaffected by matter, although they are in touch with matter. You remember? Yes, Devendramandu Prabhu, you remember? You are not there in first canto. But you should have covered up, all that. So we will not give certificates unless you know these key verses, some of the key verses. Very important. This is often quoted verses in many commentaries. Etad Ishanam Ishasya, to describe the transcendental characteristic of the Lord. 1.11 towards the end of the chapter, 35, 36, somewhere it comes. Okay, 38. So same thing the Lord is saying here also. So the Lord is saying that, 8th verse, no? Prakriti sthaha. Although he is situated in this body, still he is not affected by all this. So, next, 9th verse.
Yahasvadharmen maam nityam nirashi hi shraddhayanvita bhajate shanakaistasya manorajan prasidati.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, continued, "My dear King Prithu, when one situated in his occupational duty engages in my loving service without motive for material gain, he gradually becomes very satisfied within."
So not only that he is unaffected by this, like being in the material body, his practice is that shraddhayanvitaha, with full faith, bhajate, he renders service to the Lord. Through his occupational duty, swadharmena. See? Yaha swadharmena maam nityam nirashihi shraddhayanvitaha. Yaha swadharmena, by following his occupational duties, whatever is prescribed to him. Maam nityam, he worships me regularly. Nirashihi, without any material desires. Shraddhayanvitaha, with full faith. Bhajati. Then shanakaistasya manorajan prasidati. So by doing so, he gradually becomes satisfied in within. Shanakai means gradually he attains peace. Prasidati. So this is the result of knowing this knowledge of soul, super soul and other things. Now, one more. That is, ninth is his practice. The result of his practice is given. 10th verse. Prabhupada writes in the purport that karma yoga is discharging occupational duties as a means of devotional service. All this brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra can worship the Supreme Lord with results of his honest labor. Regardless of one's occupational duty, one should adopt hearing and chanting. 10th verse.
Parityakta gunaha samyag darshano vishadashaya शांतिं मे समवस्थानं ब्रह्म कैवल्यम अश्नुते.
When the heart is cleansed of all material contamination, the devotee's mind becomes broader and transparent, and he can see things equally. At that stage of life there is peace, and one is situated equally with me as Satchitananda Vigraha.
So that is 10th verse. So one will be able to see the Lord and as Satchidananda. One thus dissociated with modes, parityaktaha gunaha, and endowed with perfect vision, samyak darshana, and pure mind, vishadashaya, finally attains peace. So now Prabhupada is distinguishing between mayavadi kaivalya and devotee's kaivalya. Because brahma kaivalya mashnute, kaivalya is merging into impersonal Brahman, that's what mayavadis think. But Vaishnava kaivalya is understanding one's position as an eternal servant of Krishna. Basically, kaivalya is reinstating one's original position, and mayavadis think that our original position is to be nothing, to just merge without any activity. But Vaishnava's understanding is, our original position is to serve Krishna, to love Krishna in the spiritual world. So Prabhupada distinguishes these two in the purport, simple purport. 11th verse.
Udasinam ivadhyaksham dravyajnana kriyatmanam kutastham imam atmanam yuvedapnoti shobhanam.
Anyone who knows that this material body, made of the five gross elements, the sense organs, the working senses and the mind, is simply supervised by the fixed soul, is eligible to be liberated from material bondage.
So eligibility for liberation is given here. So one should understand the soul to be the superintendent of the body, he's the boss, right? Soul to be different from the body, it's only overseeing or just witnessing the functionings of the body and senses, but is not actually affected by the matter. So such a person is eligible for liberation from samsara. Basically, he is saying that soul is divine, gold is gold, although it fell into gutter. Simple. So Prabhupada writes, the soul is fixed, although the bodies are changing. And bodies are changing because of the interaction of modes. When one is absorbed in particular thought, he doesn't hear, he doesn't see the exact activities. Although, similarly, when one is fully absorbed in devotional service, he doesn't care for external body. Although things are being enacted right in his presence, if one is particularly absorbed in a particular thought, he is not affected. For example, lecture is going on wonderfully, but if someone is thinking about something else, what the lecturer is speaking, he cannot take it. Or someone is sleeping like this. But what the speaker is speaking, he is not connected. Right? Similarly, something is happening right in front of you, but you don't notice it. Pashyanapina pashyati. Right? Similarly, an enlightened soul, he may witness so many things happening in front of him, but internally he is unaffected. That's the point which is made here. Such a person is called yogi. He is in samadhi. So, two people are like that. One who is spaced out, one who is in samadhi. Two things. Spaced out persons and samadhi people. Then, next verse is 12th verse. Bhinnasya lingasya guna pravaho Dravyakriyakaraka chetanatmana Drashtasu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Navikriyante maivaddha sauhruda.
Lord Vishnu told King Prithu, my dear king, the constant change of this material world is due to the interaction of the three modes of material nature. The five elements, the senses, the demigods who control the senses, as well as the mind, which is agitated by the spirit soul, all this taken together comprise the body. Since the spirit soul is completely different from this combination of gross and subtle material elements, my devotee who is connected with me in intense friendship and affection, being completely in knowledge, is never agitated by material happiness and distress.
So Prabhupada writes a little elaborate translation with very good explanation in it. This is basically a description of the equanimity of a devotee. The material world operates due to the interaction of modes, guna pravaha. Knowing the soul to be different from its gross and subtle bodies and being connected with me in intense friendship, my devotees are never agitated by happiness and distress. Yesterday we were discussing elaborately Matra Sparshastu Kaunteya Sitoshna Sukhadukkadaha Agama Apayino Anitya Tam Stitikshasva Bharata. One is not too elated, one is not too excited when there is a cause of happiness, and one is not so morose and moral going down when there is a reason for sadness. So in either case, one is equipoised. Yamhinam yathayante te purusham purushar shabha. Agaka. You read Bhakti Shastri. Yamhinam yathayante te purusham purushar shabha. Samadukha sukham dhiram somrutattvaya kalpade. Very important verse. It comes immediately after Matra Sparshastra, 2.15. So one who is equipoised in happiness and distress, samadukha sukham dhiram, so amrutatvaya kalpate. Such a person is qualified for immortality, liberation, amrutatvaya. So that's very important. Equanimity. Don't worry, I also forget so many verses. Okay. So Prabhupada writes here that jnanis become free from samsara by striving for it, by bhakti mishra jnana. But devotees, by their pure bhakti, develop detachment, and even without striving for freedom from samsara, attain that result. This is due to their being bound to the Lord by friendship. So this verse is particularly for devotees. Because so far, whatever knowledge of soul, body, super soul, detachment, all whatever the Lord has given so far, is jnana. Right? So that can be seen purely from jnana perspective without bhakti element also. The knowledge of soul, super soul, detachment, maya's influence, ignorance, desire, action, and forgiving people, seeing them on a soul platform. So all these are agreed by jnani people also. Right? But a pure bhakta, he develops detachment and he can easily be freed from samsara, not because of developing this jnana perspective. So deliverance from samsara will happen for one who has detached vision, one who has a vision of equanimity. Even this vidyavinaya sampanna brahmane gavihasthani, such kind of attitude can be given, can be applicable even to a jnani also. He may see super soul in everybody's body. Jnanis also can do. But what is speciality of a devotee when he gets liberated? He gets liberated mainly because mai baddha sauhrudaha. Because of developing a sweet relationship and love and affection for Krishna, that becomes a primary reason than seeing things on an equal plane. Getting right? So seeing happiness and distress on an equal plane is done even by jnanis also. It's not a big thing. But apart from that vision, if you also have affection for Krishna, love for Krishna, mai baddha sauhrudaha, then that is a bhakta. So this is, the Lord's speech is culminating in bhakti. 12th verse, 12th translation. Prabhupada writes that living entity has to act as superintendent of bodily acts. How to be indifferent? So Prabhupada gives an example. Man and car example. A man, a businessman, may be using a motor car. He knows everything about the car, still apart from the car, thinks about his business. Now, he knows everything about the car. He is traveling in that car. But sitting in that car, he is not identifying himself with the car. He is thinking about his business because he is a businessman. He is utilizing the car. He is taking care of the car. He knows how much petrol is there in the car. He knows when to fill the oil again. Right? He knows how much mileage he has to go. Everything, he is completely aware of the car because he is using that car. But in sitting inside the car, traveling in the car, he is thinking about his business. Similarly, a soul also sits in this car of human body. And inside that, he takes care of the body. He does the needful to maintain this body and soul together very nicely, comfortably. And when rain comes, he will immediately open the chhatri and then move ahead. Right? But inside that, his main business is Krishna's bhakti. That he is thinking of. So that's the simple example that Prabhupada gives. Many times we may miss the point, but these small examples will make things more relevant for us. Okay, 13th verse. So from 13th verse onwards, he gives more instructions to Prithu. Very beautiful instructions. Samaha samanottama madhyamadhama sukhecha dukhecha jitendriyashaya mayopa klipta khilaloka samyuto vidhatsva vira khilaloka rakshanam.
My dear heroic king, please keep yourself always equipoised and treat people equally, whether they are greater than you in the intermediate stage or lower than you. Do not be disturbed by temporary distress or happiness. Fully control your mind and senses. In this transcendental position, try to execute your duty as king in whatever condition of life you may be posted by my arrangement. For your only duty here is to give protection to the citizens of your kingdom.
Samaha samanottama madhyamadhamaha. So he gives four instructions here. Sama, be equipoised. Three things. Samana, all equal people. Uttama, all people who are greater. Madhyama, intermediate people or like equal kind of people. Treat all these people with equality. Next. Sukhecha dukhecha jitendriyachayah. So, sukhecha dukhecha, that sama is also applicable to sukhecha dukhecha. Be equipoised in happiness and distress. Sukhecha dukhecha. Next is jitendriyachayah. Control your mind and senses. And next is mayopaklutta khila loka samyutu. Loka rakshanam, last one. You should also give protection to the citizens. So like that he gives four instructions. Be equipoised in your dealings with other people and be equipoised in situations, that is happiness and distress. So we have to deal with people, we have to deal with situations. In both cases, please be equipoised. That's the message given to him. Control your mind and senses. Finally, protect your citizens. So he, as a king, that is his service. So we also need to do only four things. Number one, be equipoised in dealings with people. Number two, be equipoised in situations of happiness and distress. Number three, control mind and senses. Number four, do our service properly. Whatever service is given to us. Apart from chanting and hearing and all that. So Prabhupada writes, brilliant purport. Very grave purport. Our duty is to receive orders from Krishna or his bona fide representative and take these orders as life and soul without personal considerations. Without personal considerations, without selfish intentions, without ulterior motives or agendas, execute the instructions of Krishna or his bona fide representative. So Guru is the representative of Krishna. No, one may not directly interact with Guru also many times. He may interact with Guru's representatives. So ultimately, we access Krishna through his representatives, right, who are guiding us on the spiritual path. So without personal considerations, one needs to receive orders and execute these orders as one's life and soul. Chakravartipat says, don't care whether you will be liberated or not. Simply execute the direct order received from spiritual master. If one sticks to the principle of abiding by the order of spiritual master, he will remain in a liberated position. Prabhupada, how many times he must have made this statement? See, fourth canto, other places also you will find this statement only. In Pracheta's case also he made this statement. Prutu's case also he is making this statement. So, even Swayambhu Manu, Brahmaji, in their relationship. So in that case also Prabhupada says. So execute the order without even considering whether you are going back to Godhead. What is Mirza? Mirza kya milega? Nee, nee, karo. Yeah, you didn't understand. So if I do this, what will I get? People will say, what result I will get? What you will give me? Mahaprasad milega? You will give me Mahaprasad or you will give me some other benefit? What is that called? Goodies, bhakshis, whatever. Will you give me that kind of, will you do some favors? So one should not ask like that, one should selflessly render seva. That's the message given. One can fully remain in intimate connection with the Supreme Lord by three things. One, receiving orders from spiritual master. Number two, executing them sincerely. Number three, being aloof from bodily activities. Then one can intimately be connected with Krishna. All revolutionary lines, Prabhupada writes in the purport. The Lord helps us by giving us directions how to act in devotional service and thus advance on the path back to Godhead. But how does the Lord help us? Through spiritual master. He instructs us outwardly through spiritual master. Spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. Now, and the spiritual master is not an ordinary human being. Krishna says in Uddhava Gita, Acharyam mam vijaniya na avamanyeta karhichit. Acharya mam vijaniyam. Know that Acharya is as good as me. Acharya is non-different from me, like that Krishna says. He is a substitute for Supreme Personality of Godhead and one should never be envious of spiritual master. He is always giving me orders, right? He is utilizing me. He is seeing me as a resource. So one should not get into that kind of mode. One should feel privileged to be instructed by Guru. One should feel that one is very fortunate to be receiving instructions from Guru. That's the tradition. So if one follows the instructions of spiritual master and executes devotional service, we will remain always free from contamination of bodily and material activities. Then the life is successful. How to protect oneself from the clutches of Maya and from the bodily demands and sensual demands and mental agitations? By executing the instruction of spiritual master. Sense control formula is simple. Execute the instructions of spiritual master. In the 4th canto, 22nd chapter, you will see. Beautiful. Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. How many of you already know this verse? Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya. No one? Very interesting verse. We have not yet covered, don't worry. So, yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam grathitamud grathayanti santaha. Tadvanna rikta matayo yatayo pirudha shroto ganastamaranam bhaja vasudeva. The verse is, this is in the teachings of four Kumaras to Prithu Maharaj. That will come in 22nd chapter now. After 2 days, you will hear that. In that purport, I will not go into the details of the verse now. In the purport, Prabhupada says, our sense gratificatory desires are like ripples on ocean, ripples on river. Will the ripples on the river will ever stop? Generally not. Similarly, our desires for sense gratification also will not stop. Anyone has any objection on this point? Sense gratification desires will not stop. However, when the river meets the ocean, the tides of the ocean will overwhelm these insignificant ripples on the river, and the ripples will become insignificant. Ripples practically have no influence or no power in front of the tide, oceanic tide, is it not? Similarly, river is the disciple, ocean is the spiritual master. Disciple has sense gratificatory desires, but spiritual master has unlimited plans to serve Krishna. They are like tides of the ocean that may rise 2 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet, 10 feet above. But the ripples, 2 centimeters, 1 centimeter, that much only. To make these insignificant material desires really insignificant, you need to meet the ocean. That means you need to assist and serve the spiritual master in the execution of his plans for Krishna's service. So, service to spiritual master will control our sense gratificatory desires. Sense control formula is service to Guru. Make sense? Yes, Dinbandhu Prabhu. Make sense? Understood the point? Same thing Prabhupada is saying. If we follow the instructions of spiritual master and execute devotional service, we will remain always free from contamination of bodily material activities. Then life will become successful. Right? So these are all very beautiful purports. 13th purport, I mean, you should be able to learn it nicely and remember. Now we'll come to 14th verse. Shreyah prajapalanameva rajno yat samparaye sukrutat shashtamamsham. Hartanyatha hrita punyaha prajanam arakshita karaha roghamati.
To give protection to the general mass of people who are citizens of the state is the prescribed occupational duty for a king. By acting in that way, the king in his next life shares 1/6 of the result of the pious activities of the citizens. But a king or executive head of a state who simply collects taxes from the citizens but does not give them proper protection as human beings has the results of his own pious activities taken away by the citizens. and in exchange for his not giving protection, he becomes liable to punishment for the impious activities of his subjects.
Simple, two points are mentioned here. If the king protects citizens, he will get 1/6 of their piety. If he doesn't protect, then the citizens will take his piety and he will suffer for their sins. So being a king is not an easy thing. People are so enthusiastic to sit on the posts of kings, chief minister, prime minister, those minister, that minister. People are so eager to rule. But apart from the sense gratification of ruling and controlling people, there is a lot of responsibility and risk involved there. All the rajarshis who are ruling the kingdoms, they did thankless service. Any leadership role is like that only. If the ruling is not proper, then one will get repercussions. One need to be very strong, right, in his conduct. If everyone engaged in spiritual activities for salvation and become indifferent to activities of material world, how will things go on? Someone may question like this. Answer is, Shreya, auspicious activities. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. They should do their respective duties properly and achieve highest perfection of life, that is liberation. So, like, even in a spiritual society where everybody is aspiring for spiritual salvation or liberation or going back to Godhead, still, in that also, simple, in our case, in temple setup also, where everybody is trying to do sadhana, everybody is trying to serve Krishna, everybody is trying to serve Guru, right? They have spiritual aspirations. They are living in a spiritual ambience. Still, some protocols are needed. Different people are given different responsibilities and they need to fulfill those responsibilities for the proper functioning of the temple, right? Because this like society is divided into Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya and Sudra, and they are given their respective duties for the smooth functioning of the society, for the ultimate goal of liberation or going back to Godhead, and ultimately everything in service to Krishna. Similarly, within a temple atmosphere also different responsibilities are there. If some maintenance person doesn't do his service properly, or Keshavanand Prabhu, Gauram, Vihari Prabhu and all, he will not get these lights. These fans will not move. How will we have class? Right? If our kitchen department or Ajit Mukund Prabhu, Rasik Gaurav Prabhu, they don't function in a proper way, then how will we get meals? Three hot meals in our plate. For that to happen, these people have to work hard. They need to go early morning, they need to compromise their japa time to cook breakfast for us. They need to go to sabji market, negotiate with all these vendors and then get sabji without getting cheated. Right? So a lot of responsibility. So much of grocery has to be purchased. Bhagavan Pandit Prabhu knows it very well. So there is a lot of responsibility to run the show. Just like Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they have certain responsibilities to be fulfilled in the society for the smooth functioning of the society. One should, and when it comes to a temple setup, there's nothing like Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Everybody is everything. Right? Shudra may be sweeping the floor. Brahmana may be worshipping the deities. But Brahmana who worships the deities, he also sweeps the floor. Right? So Brahmana may be educating other people and a Kshatriya may be administering. We have people who give classes also, who do management also. Right? So everybody will be doing all kinds of services according to the need of the hour, according to the need of the service, right? According to their own capabilities, right? So that way, Prabhupada is saying that if good government doesn't take care of citizens, spiritual advancement of people, they are entangled in sin. So, okay, next, 15th verse. After 16th verse, we'll take a break. Evam dvijagryanu mata anuvrittam dharma pradhano nyatamo vitashaya hrasvena kalena gruho payatan drashtasi siddhan anurakta lokaham
Lord Vishnu continued, "My dear King Prithu, if you continue to protect the citizens according to the instructions of the learned Brahmana authorities, as they are received by the disciplic succession, by hearing from master to disciple, and if you follow the religious principles laid down by them, without attachment to ideas manufactured by mental concoction, then every one of your citizens will be happy and will love you. And very soon you will be able to see such already liberated personalities as the four Kumaras."
So Lord already predicted here that Kumaras will come and enlighten Prithu in 22nd chapter. So the citizens will love you and you will see great saints. Because seeing great saints is a great thing, that Lord himself also says that as a benediction. Right? You will have the great fortune and privilege of seeing four Kumaras. Like that. By protecting the earth and the citizens according to religious principles approved by and received from great Brahmanas without attachment, then citizens will love you, you will be able to see four Kumaras. Prabhupada writes that Parashara and Manu, they spoke on Varnashrama, but Rupa and Sanadana spoke on Bhakti, pure devotional service. So, one more point Prabhupada says is that change is required, but the change of consciousness is required, not change of body. Like that. Change is required. Change, change. I want change. I want to see that change. I am that change. Like that, people make slogans or just write one-liners, right? But change of body is not required. Change of consciousness is required. This point people will miss. So, when again, without attachment to mentally concocted ideas, Prabhupada says, one has to follow the instructions of parampara without attachment to mental concocted ideas. That means, whatever Varnashram principles we are trying to implement should be coming from Manu and Parashara, such great souls, such authorities in that line. Similarly, whatever pure devotional principles that we are following, they need to be prescribed by Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, like that, authorities and devotional service, Prabhupada, that way. 16th verse. Varam cha mat kanchana manavendra.
Varam cha mat kanchana manavendra.
Vrinishvateham guna shila yantrita. Naham makhair vair sulabhas tapobhir. Yogena vayat samachitta varti.
My dear King, I am very captivated by your elevated qualities and excellent behavior, and thus I am very favorably inclined towards you. You may therefore ask from me any benediction you like. One who does not possess elevated qualities and behavior cannot possibly achieve my favor simply by performance of sacrifices, severe austerities or mystic yoga. But I always remain equipoised in the heart of one who is also equipoised in all circumstances.
So you cannot achieve my favor simply by sacrifices and austerities or yoga. Only by bhakti. That means the Lord descended in Prithu's sacrifice not because he conducted the sacrifice but because he has bhakti. Like that. His good behavior. I am captivated by your elevated qualities and excellent behavior. Gunashila yantritaha. God is appreciating him. So anyone who has developed unalloyed, unflinching devotional service, develops all good qualities. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasate suraha. Same thing the Lord is saying. Varam cha mat kanchana madhavendra. I am favorably inclined to you. Whatever you like, you take my varam, benediction. Vrinishvateham gunashila yantritaha. Gunasila yantritaha. I have been captivated by your guna, qualities and shila, character. So, whatever you want, you take. Ma naham makhair vai sulabhair tapobhir. Na aham, me, I am not captivated by makhair, means sacrifices. Tapobhir, austerities. Sulabha, I am not easily attainable by all this. Yogenava, not even yoga, mystic yoga. Because I am samachittavarti. Samachittavarti means very neutrally disposed in the heart of people who are equipoised, right? People who are not controlled by material conduct are neutrally disposed people. So the Lord also stays within them in a a neutral way, right? So when people are biased with so many prejudiced conceptions, right? So Lord will witness them and give them the right result, right? If person is not biased or prejudiced, or he is not very attached to his own mental concoctions and all, so Lord will reciprocate with him in a different way, right? So beyond this, I also don't know what exactly I am situated neutral in the heart is. Basically, he's giving a description of super soul, right? Who takes the reading? Yeah, something close to that. Not much elaboration on it. Okay. Prabhupada writes the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava also. The rest of the chapter. Maitreya Uvacha. Saittam Loka Guruna. Vishvakshena Vishvajit. Vishvakshena Vishvajit. Anushashita Adesham. Sirasa Jagrihe Hare.
Great Saint Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, in this way, Maharaj Prithu, the conqueror of the entire world, accepted the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on his head."
Okay. So Prithu Maharaj accepted the instructions of the Lord, and the Lord is described as Loka Guruna here, the spiritual master of the entire world, or the conqueror of the entire world. So Prabhupada writes that one should accept the instructions of the Lord by bowing down at the lotus feet of the Lord. This means that anything spoken by the Lord should be taken as it is, with great care and attention and with great respect. So one cannot surpass the instruction. It's not our business to amend the words of the Lord or make additions or alterations, as it became a custom for so-called scholars and swamis. Okay. This is the way of receiving the knowledge through the parampara. Next, 18th verse. Very beautiful purport, 18. Sprishantam padayoha premna vriditam svena karmana shatakratum parishvajyam vidvesham vishasarjaha.
As King Indra was standing by, he became ashamed of his own activities and fell down before King Prithu to touch his lotus feet. But Prithu Maharaj immediately embraced him in great ecstasy and gave up all envy against him for his having stolen the horse meant for the sacrifice.
So Indra became very regretful. He is ashamed. He fell at the feet of Prithu Maharaj, but Prithu Maharaj just lifted him and very gently embraced Indra. So we can see that even the most intimate and powerful personalities who are personal associates of the Lord, who are servants of the Lord, they may also sometimes commit some mistakes. Indra is not an ordinary personality. So humility is in begging forgiveness, because now Indra has become humbled. So humility is begging forgiveness. Magnanimity is forgiving and forgetting the mistake, the offense that is done by other people to us. So one should have both humility and magnanimity. If one does some mistake, he should have the humility to go and beg forgiveness. If others do some mistake, one should have the magnanimity to forgive and forget that mistake. Right? So this is what we need to imbibe through this episode. Prabhupada writes that, An offender at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is never excused by the Lord. Example is Durvas Muni. Here both Indra and Prithu, both are Vaishnavas. So when there is a misunderstanding or some conflict between two Vaishnavas, one's duty becomes to adjust the cause of their envy. Some adjustment has to be made. So Kali Yuga is filled with non-Vaishnavas, so perpetual fight is going on. And when the fight is going on and when cooperation is not there, then one will finish the mission of human life, human form of life. One will not be able to finish the mission of human form of life, or one will finish it without finishing it, without completing it. So there is a great need to propagate Krishna consciousness movement through people, though people sometimes become angry and malicious. Because Krishna consciousness, such rivalry, competition, envy can be adjusted without difficulty. If there is Krishna consciousness, then all this can be adjusted. If there is no Krishna consciousness, then people will perpetually become enemies. Right? So even in devotee circles also sometimes conflicts may happen. But here Prabhupada is encouraging everyone that you need to, it's the duty to adjust the cause of envy. Somewhere someone has to take a low profile. If everyone is shouting, both sides they are shouting. Why they shout generally? Because other person is not hearing. Right? The hearts have become so far from each other. That's why they have to shout so much. Although the physical proximity is there, but internally there is no proximity. Internally they are like thousands of kilometers apart from each other. Externally they may be 2-3 feet ahead. 2-3 feet close to each other only. That's why people shout. The more their hearts become away from each other, the louder is their sound. Although they are so close. That way. 19th verse.
Bhagavan atha Vishvatma Pruthunopa Hritarhana Sammujjihanaya Bhaktyam Grihita Charanam Bujaham.
So, abundantly worshipped the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was so merciful to him. While worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord, Prithu Maharaj gradually increased his ecstasy in devotional service.
So, Prithu Maharaj worshipped the Lord after the Lord gave his instructions. Prabhupada says, if Ashtasattvika Vikara appear on devotee's body, then devotional service becomes perfect. Right? The Lord is Bhakta Vatsala, which means that he is inclined towards pure devotee, Bhakta. Therefore, the transcendental ecstatic transaction between the Supreme Lord and his devotee is never like the activities of the material world. 20th verse. Prasthana Abhimukho Yepahenam Anugraha Vilambitaham Pashyan Padma Palashaksho Napratasthe Suhrutsatam.
The Lord was just about to leave, but because he was so greatly inclined towards the behavior of King Prithu, he did not depart. Seeing the behavior of Maharaj Prithu with his lotus eyes, he was detained because he is always the well-wisher of his devotees.
Prasthana Abhimukho Hyenam. Prasthana Abhimukha means the Lord is ready for journey. He was about to leave. Prasthan. So, anugraha vilambitaha. Vilamba means he is delayed. What is that? Anugraha. Because of kindness, he could not move. Although he is ready to move, ready to leave, he could not leave because of his mercy. Same thing happened in first canto also. The Lord was about to leave for Dwaraka, but Kunti Maharani came and stopped, and there is vilamba. There is a delay in his journey. So, but being the well-wisher of the devotees and greatly inclined towards Prithu, he did not depart. He had to stay back. So what holds back the Lord from his progress or his moving forward is his love and affection towards devotees and their love and affection towards him. So he was about to leave, but he could not leave. Pashyan Padma Palasaksho Napratasthi Suhrut Satam. He is called Suhrut Satam. He is the well-wisher of saintly people. He samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti napriyaha. So we should not see this quality of the Lord as Suhrut Satam as partiality. So it's not partiality, it is not unnatural. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvavangam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Because they are satata yuktanam, they are constantly engaged in Krishna's service. And bhajatam priti purvakam, they are worshipping him very lovingly. Krishna is very obliged to them. Right? Just like small children are there in the classroom, the teacher gives the same lesson, same teachings to all the children in the class. But when the child is well behaved and he comes to the teacher and asks, what is the spelling of apple, madam, so like that, then she gives more importance or more attention to such a small child who is more sincere than other children, right? Same thing, the Lord is equal to everyone, however, he is specially inclined to his devotees because they are approaching. Prabhupada gives this example. Father may be have equal love towards all his children, but he gives more attention to the child who is more dependent on him, the youngest child, or more helpless child, more dependent child, more obedient child. So he gets more attention from the father. Same thing with Krishna also. The Lord is in everyone's heart, but only devotee can realize the Lord's presence. You see, Lord samoham sarva bhuteshu. Everybody has the super soul within his heart, right? But how many know? How many realize? How many acknowledge? Only devotee does it. Now, there are, say, 100 people in a place and a guest comes there. Out of 100, if only 2-3 people are receiving the guest, asking him, how has been your journey? Do you want something? Any assistance you need? So like that, if you treat him well, he will reciprocate with you and he will open up with you, right? So only 2 people are doing that, 98 people are just not even looking at him, they are ignoring him. They are in their own world. So he doesn't feel like interacting with them, although he is just present there. Similarly, the super soul is there. The presence of the super soul is acknowledged and understood and realized only by devotee. But other people, although super soul is right there within their hearts, they don't even realize, they don't even understand or acknowledge. They don't even bother that he's watching us. They don't even bother to know what you want. So then, that's similarly reciprocation depends. 21st verse.
Saadhi Rajo Rachitanjalir Harim Vilokitum Nashak Na Shakad Ashru Lochana Nakinchano Vachas Sabash Paviklavo Hrudopa Guhya Mumadhat Avasthita.
The original king, Maharaj Pruthu, his eyes full of tears and his voice fluttering and choked up, could neither see the Lord very distinctly nor speak to address the Lord in any way. He simply embraced the Lord within his heart and remained standing in the way with folded hands.
Hare Krishna. Sa Adi Rajo Rachitanjalir Harim. So Adi Raja means original king, Prithu Maharaj. So Rachita Anjalir, with folded hands, he was looking upon the Supreme Lord with eyes full of tears, with great feeling, and he was undergoing emotion. He was wiping the tears as he was seeing the Lord, but he wasn't fully satisfied by looking at him. So he started offering prayers. Prabhupada writes that the great calamity in life is to become godless and sinful. So, He gives an example of Gandhi's non-cooperation movement. So, but citizens buy in public lavatories. Although the liquor was banned, citizens somehow managed to get liquor. So this kind of government cannot check resultant actions of sinful life, war or earthquakes. The nature's law is, as soon as discrepancies are there in following the laws of God, immediately there is punishment. And the consequence, these are all the consequences of not being Krishna conscious. So here, the great calamity in life is to become godless or sinful. And if one becomes godless and sinful without Krishna consciousness, natural laws will definitely give him the needed punishment. Right? So, finally, the conclusion that Prabhupada tries to say here is that the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to make people pure and perfect. So this is the effect of godless and sinful life. But if there is Krishna consciousness, everything is perfect. If you become even partially pure, as described in Bhagavatam, Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Prayeshu. Almost nil. Abhadras are almost gone, not completely gone. So by development of Krishna consciousness, then lust and greed, the material diseases of the citizens will be reduced. This can be made possible simply by broadcasting the pure message of Bhagavatam. Okay. So fill the ambience of the world with Krishna consciousness so that people can offer pure prayers like Prithu Maharaj is doing. 22nd verse is the last verse before the prayers.
Athava mrujya shrukala vilokayan atripta drugo charamaha purusham padasprushantam kshitimam sa unnate vinyasta hasta gramuranga vidvishaha.
Supreme Personality of God stood with his lotus feet almost touching the ground while he rested the front of his hands on the raised shoulder of Garuda. The enemy of the snakes, Maharaj Prithu, wiping the tears from his eyes, tried to look upon the Lord, but it appeared that the king was not fully satisfied by looking at him. Thus the king offered the following prayers.
So king offered the prayers, we already mentioned it. He was wiping the tears, although his ecstasy is bringing out so many tears from his eyes, but he was wiping the tears and then managing to offer some prayers. So, the Lord's lotus feet almost touched the ground. That's the significant point here. So, he rested his hand on Garuda's shoulder. So, as if preventing himself from falling down, the Lord is resting his hand on the shoulder of Garuda, because he was not accustomed to stand on ground. So these are some subtle points. Now you can't just say, why can't Lord stand? Don't bring out all these kind of arguments. It's a pastime, right? Why can't he stand? Why he needs support of Garuda? Why he needs Garuda only? He can directly come, no? He has a vehicle. Why he needs Makut? Many times we ask some questions which are really... Okay, anyways, from now onwards, please be extremely attentive. These are beautiful prayers of Prithu Maharaj. So, without any compromise, we'll try to discuss these 8-9 prayers. And I'm not attached to completing the chapter today, considering the importance of these prayers.
Varan vibhavatvad varadeshvarad buddha. Katham vrinite gunavikriyatmanam ye narakanam apisanti dehinam tanisha kaivalya pate vrinena cha
varan vibho. My dear Lord, please give me benediction. Tvadvaradeshwarad. You are the best of all bestowers of benedictions. Prithu is saying, Buddha. Buddha is a person who is very intelligent. So, I want a benediction from you. But what kind of benediction? That kind of benediction that intelligent people ask. And I don't want benedictions that intelligent people do not ask. What is that? Katham vrinite gunavikriyatmanam. How can I ask such benediction? How can any intelligent person ask such benediction which are meant for gunavikriyatmanam, which are meant for living entities who are bewildered by material modes? Ye narakanam api santi dehinam. Such material benedictions are available even for those people who are living in hell. Narakanam api santi dehinam. Tan isha kaivalyapate vranenacha. My dear Lord, you are kaivalyapati, but I don't ask you for kaivalya, liberation. So here he says that material benedictions are available for people who are living in hell also. Then you want liberation? No, I don't want even liberation. You are kaivalyapati, but I don't want kaivalya. Why he is saying? There are three kinds of benedictions. Number one, karmis, they want the benediction of entering the heavenly planets. They want long life, they want a very high standard of living and material enjoyment. Right? They want that. And jnanis and yogis, they desire to merge into the existence of the Lord, that is kaivalya. Right? But that kaivalya is like hell for devotees. He is saying, ye narakanam. Naraka is hell. Naraka means one who is living in hell. Even one who lives in hell also will get material benedictions. Why is he saying like that? The spirit in which he said is, for a devotee, whether to live in hell or heaven or attain liberation, all three are hellish only. All three are like as good as material benedictions only. Right? So in spirit they are hell. It's not like heaven is hell. Otherwise why heaven is given another name like heaven? You can call that heaven also hell only. No? But in spirit, devotee's outlook towards even heaven and liberation also is hell only. So that popular verse, Kaivalyam narakayate tridasha purakasha pushpayate durdantendriya kala sarpa patali proktahadam shtrayate vishvam purna sukhayate vidhivahendradischa kitayate yat karunya kataksha vaibhavavatam tam gaurame vastumaham. Kaivalyam narakayate. Kaivalya, liberation, is as good as hell. Tridasha pura akasha pushpayate. All the heavenly enjoyment that people imagine, that's like flowers growing in the sky. They don't grow, right? It's like that. It's as good as flowers that fall from the sky. Tridasha pura akasha pushpayate durdantindriya kala sarpa patali proktaha damshtrayate. For a devotee, all these powerful senses become like snakes without fangs, poisonous fangs, which are hardly harmful. Right? They are not harmful at all. So, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. For a devotee, this entire universe is filled with happiness. Vidhimahendra Adischa Kitayate. Whatever, whether it is a heavenly position or Indra position or some insect position, he sees everything with equanimity. Right? So, because when one attains the shelter of the lotus feet of Gaura, yat karunya kataksha vaibhavavatam tam gaurame vastumaha. By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, one will be able to develop this vision and neglect heavenly happiness and even liberation also. Heavenly happiness is aspired for by karmis. Liberation is aspired by jnanis and yogis. So the ultimate benedictions of all these practitioners are totally useless for a devotee. Right? So bhakta doesn't even care for the position of Brahma and Shiva. Right? As a devotee of the Lord, Prithu is making this his position very clear. I am a devotee. So he is asking for benediction. Before asking, he says, what I don't want, he is clarifying. what do you learn in this Damodarashtakam? Before asking for his benediction, idam teva purnatha gopala balam sadame manasyavirastam kimandi. May your beautiful form of Bal Gopal be always manifest in my heart. That was his prayer. But before saying that, namokshe grahosmesti damodara, even before that all he says, what is that verse? Fourth verse. Varam deva moksham na mokshavadhimva. Don't give me. He is also saying that. Varan vibhota dvaradeshwarad buddha. Both are starting with varam only. Varam deva moksham na. Don't give me moksham. Mokshavadhim. Don't give me the personal liberations also, or even residence in Vaikuntha planets also. Nachanyam, no other benediction. Nachanyam vraneha varesha dapiha. You are varesha. He is saying you are varadeshwara. Both are same. The spirit of both prayers are same. The theme is same. Varesha dapiha idam teva purnatha gopala balam. So what Satyavrata Muni said in two verses, he is saying, one verse he is saying in two verses here. So rejecting heavenly happiness and rejecting liberation and aspiring for the association of devotees and hearing in that association is the common theme of so many prayers in, especially fourth canto, in Bhagavatam in general, but fourth canto in specific. What does Dhruva Maharaj say? Yanirvritis tanubhritam tavapada padma dhyanat bhavat jana katha shravanena vasyat sa brahmanisva mahimanya pinatham abhut kim tvantakasi lulitat patatam vimanat. You memorize this verse? If happiness has to be attained, it can be attained only in two ways. Tavapada padma dhyanat, by meditating on your lotus feet. Bhavat jana katha shravanena vasyat, by hearing your glories from your devotees. So in front of this happiness, oh, the happiness of liberation is of no use. What is that verse? What is the continuation? Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvayi me prasango bhuyad ananta mahatam amalashayanam yenanja solbanamuru vyasanam bhavabdhim neshye bhavad gana kathamrta pana mattaha. I am intoxicated by hearing your glories. So I don't need the happiness of entering heavenly planets, or I don't need the happiness of attaining liberation. Kim tvantakasi lulitat patatam vimanat. He says in the first verse, last line, that it's like ascending in an airplane high. Our airplanes may go 20,000 or 30,000 feet high, that's all. Or Tranavarta airplane may go 80,000 miles high. But however high you go, when the fuel is exhausted, you have to collapse. Right? The airplane has a limit. So, kim tvantakasi lulitat patatam vimanat. He compares ascending to heavenly planets as going in an airplane that has limited amount of fuel. Kshine punye martyalokam vishanti. Sa brahmanisva mahimanyapinatham abhut. Even the bliss of Brahmananda, of merging into the impersonal effulgence of the Supreme Lord, that is also of nothing substantial. So these are very important verses. Now you go to, we have seen that verse, Prithu Dhruva's prayers, where he is aspiring to hear in the association of devotees and rejecting liberation in heavenly planets. Now he rejected liberation in heavenly planets in the 23rd verse, Prithu. Now 24th verse he says, again he reconfirms, nakama yena tadapyaham kvachin nayatrayushmat charanam bujasavaham mahattamantar hridayan mukhachyuto vidhasvakarna yutamesha mevara nakama yena tadapyaham kvachin. I don't want any of those things. Whatever I have mentioned in the 23rd verse, I don't want all those things. Na kamayi. Why? Because na yatra yushmat charanam bhujasavaha. In those benedictions of liberation and heavenly planets, I have no opportunity for tasting the nectar of your lotus feet. Na yatra yushmat charana ambuja asavaha. That I don't have access to. Why do I need that? And what do you need then? In 1.5 verses, you only said what you don't want. What you want, now you tell me. Then he will take 1.5 verses more to say that. That is, Mahattam Antar Hridayan Mukhachyuto. Mahattam means great devotees. Antar Hridayan means within their hearts, they hold the lotus feet of the Lord. They hold the glories of the Lord. They hold a lot of love for Lord. Hridayan Mukhachyuto. When they are speaking from their mukha about you, Vidhatsva Karnayuta Meshamevaraha. To hear that sound vibration, I need millions of ears. I want millions of ears. Karna Ayuta Meshamevaraha. This is the benediction that I desire for. Right? So why he is asking that I can read scriptures, they are glory filled with your glories. No. When the scripture is spoken by a devotee who has love for Krishna, the scripture becomes more appealing and more nectarian. Prabhupada quotes this verse. Sukhamukhad amrutadrava samyutam. Yeah, Bhagavatam is nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. It is the ripened fruit of Vedic literatures. Right? Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. But that galitam phalam, the ripened fruit, has been bitten by the beak of this parrot Sukadeva Goswami, and its flavor increased. Sukhamukhad amrutadrava samyutam. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam, please drink the nectar of Bhagavatam. Muhuraho, constantly drink, repeatedly drink. Rasika, Bhuvi Bhavuka, oh expert relishers of transcendental messages, drink this nectar, Bhagavatam. It doesn't have the objectionable parts like seed and the peel. It is semi-solid, directly drink it. Right? So like that. He says, Vidhasva Karanayutam Eshami Varaha. To hear the glories of Krishna, I need more years, millions of years. All the gopis of Vrindavan, we have discussed earlier also, they are churning butter in their houses so that Krishna can come and steal that butter and captivate their hearts. So when Krishna steals butter, apparently all the gopis get disturbed and then chastise Krishna and scold Krishna. They may try to arrest Krishna. They may catch Krishna and then present Krishna in front of the mother Yashoda. They may do all those things. But they are desiring, they are very happy to witness Krishna stealing activities, butter stealing activities. Now once they all decided, within their heart they were thinking that Krishna doesn't steal butter in Yashoda's house. So she is deprived of this happiness of witnessing Krishna stealing activities. So let us go and give that same pleasure to Mother Yashoda also. Internally they were thinking like that. So they go and narrate all the stealing activities of Krishna in front of Mother Yashoda in a mood of complaint. Right? They in the garb of complaints, they were glorifying Krishna, they were remembering Krishna, they were relishing Krishna's activities. Thinking that Mother Yashoda does not have this fortune of seeing Krishna stealing activities. But Yashoda was relishing Krishna stealing activities more than these gopis, because gopis only directly saw Krishna stealing butter. But Yashoda heard those activities mixed with the love and affection of all these gopis. Krishna's activities are relishable, but when a devotee narrates these activities, they are more relishable. Yashoda got greater fortune. Right? So Bhagavatam is relishable. Vyasdev has written it with great relish. But Vyasdev started relishing his own Bhagavatam when he sat in the class of Sukadeva Goswami. And Narada Muni only instructed Vyasdev to Narada Muni only instructed Vyasdev to write Srimad Bhagavatam. But when he saw the who is this? Huh? Daruk Prabhu. Okay. So when he heard, when he sat in the class of Sukadeva Goswami and he was hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, he got more impressed. Right? He was Narada Muni, the Param Guru of Sukadeva Goswami, and Vyasadeva, the Guru of Sukadeva Goswami, they were hearing from Sukadeva Goswami sitting in his class as if they were hearing Bhagavatam for the first time. That's the impact that a devotee can make if he has love for Krishna. If one loves Krishna and then he starts speaking about Krishna, the relish that that narration can produce is unimaginable. That's not accessible just by reading books. Right? So, that's why he is saying, Vidhasva karnayuta mesha mevaraha. I want millions of years to hear Krishna Katha. That doesn't mean he is aspiring to become another Indra. Indra has millions of, 1,000 eyes all over his body. So, Prithu Maharaj literally has ears all over his body. Pura ears. The spirit you can see, the eagerness you can see, the enthusiasm to hear you, you should see. Right? You can't take this literally. I was expecting your question, that's why I clarified now only. So, because they speak from the core of their hearts, right? Mahattamantar hridayan mukhachito. What is there in their heart? Love for Krishna. And they speak about Krishna. So, when devotees speak, it's not an ordinary material sound vibration. Right? Hearing from non-devotees cannot give that kind of relish. Right? A non-devotee, a professional speaker may start speaking Bhagavatam in a more eloquent language, with much more musical performance, but that doesn't transform the heart of the hearer as much as when he hears from a pure devotee who actually genuinely has love for Krishna. Oh, natak kar rahe hai, sab pata chal jayega. A movie actor will just start acting like a great devotee. Oh. And next movie, he will just have spurts and then all these goggles and then he does all kinds of nonsense. Right? So what kind of devotion can such a professional actor inspire in the hearts of his viewers or hearers? Right? So within that 3 hours movie, they may get impressed. But outside that fellow is a pakka atheist. Right? They cannot inspire devotion in the hearts of people. Or they cannot inspire people to take up to devotional life. They may just create certain temporary vibes momentarily. Right? And people think that that is devotion. In South India, especially if you go, most temples, many temples, they just play movie songs only. Devotional movie songs. They don't have actual real Vedic chants. Right? Many. You agree to this point? Like that. Especially Andhra. Pure, okay. So the effect that a devotee's vibration can create is different. Satam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha. Glorification of the Lord is potent from the mouth of pure devotee.
It was just printed and sent by Anandachitra. Which you can talk to Harikopal Pogan, who coordinated the bringing up to gate reception. It's a colorful Vrindavan Parishan, it's big, A3 and
A4 size.
Yeah, we need to show
it to Maharaj. Thank you. Give you the map, A4 printer. Can I tell you this map? So, glorification of the Lord is potent from the mouth of a pure devotee. The Lord's infinite devotees all over the universe have been glorifying the Lord since time immemorial for unlimited time. So, still they can't completely finish enumerating the glories of the Lord. So does Rupa Goswami also wanted. Millions of tongues and ears. What is that verse? Beautiful verse. Tunde tandavi niratim vitanute tundavali labdhaye karna krodaka dambini vitanute karnarbhute ham kritam cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritam no jane janita kiyadbhiramrutai krishne tivarnadvayi. It comes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When I'm chanting the holy names of Krishna, I feel like having millions of tongues. And when I'm hearing that holy name, I feel like having millions of ears. And no jane janita kiyat bhiramrtaihi krishneti varnadvai. I can't understand what's happening to me. I don't understand how much relish these two syllables krish and na can create. Right? That's Rupa Goswami's prayer. Right? Tunde Tandavi. How many of you know this verse apart from Avadhut Chandra Prabhu? Two. Yeah. So it's very beautiful verses that Prabhupada is quoting here. So now why Prithu Maharaj is wanting millions of years? Prabhupada says, lots innumerable devotees all over the universe. So connected to this statement, another verse is there, second canto. Nantam vidam yahamami munayogra jaste maya balasya purushasya kutavaraye gayan gunan dasha shatanana adidevaseshu dhunapina bhavasyati nastya param. Third, second canto, seventh chapter. So, Ananta Sesha is glorifying Krishna's qualities, means enumerating Krishna's qualities since time immemorial with his thousand hoods. Ananta Sesha could not reach an end of that qualities, right? So Krishna's qualities are unlimited. That's why Prachetas are praying that, my dear Lord, you are unlimited. When we go to an unlimited Lord, we have to ask an unlimited benediction, not any meager benediction. Right, you go to king, he says you to ask whatever you want. And you ask for, give me 10 rupees pocket money. Then it doesn't sound very intelligent. Similarly, when you go to the Supreme Lord, give me gar, give me car, give me bungalow, give me some other good lottery ticket where I can get 50 lakhs. So these are not the benedictions that you got, that you ask. Give me proper hot pot. It doesn't keep the water for a long time. This kind of petty, stupid benedictions are not meant to be asked when you come to Supreme Lord. Give me love of God. Give me opportunity to hear Krishna Katha. So when you go in front of the unlimited Lord, you ask an unlimited benediction. What could be more unlimited than Krishna Katha? Same verse. One devotee speaks in a certain way, explains. And you pick up any devotee on the planet and ask him to give class on that verse. He will give a different class. Again, glories of Krishna only. And you ask the same devotee after 1 year to give class on that same verse, he will speak different. This is also Krishna Katha, that is also Krishna Katha. Unlimited. That 1-4-line verse can trigger unlimited spiritual thoughts in the hearts of devotees. And they present unlimited devotional perspectives glorifying Krishna. So that's one 4-line verse can generate unlimited Krishna Katha. What to speak of 18,000 verses? And what to speak of 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita? What to speak of all the lakhs of verses that Vyasadeva has written? And all the pages of commentaries that all Vaishnava Acharyas have written? Chakvartipas has given a commentary on Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada has given another commentary. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote. Then Sridhar Swami wrote. So many Acharyas wrote commentary. And still, there are commentaries on those commentaries. Right? And people just expand Krishna's glories only. So that's why you need millions of years to hear all of that. That is the taste. And what exactly is the transformation created by hearing from the Lord? That is next, 25th verse. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachyuto bhavat padam bhoja sudhakananila Smritim punarvismrita tattva vartmanam kuyoginam no avitaratya lamvaraihi sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachito bhavat padam bhoja sudhakarnani laihi smritim punarvismrita tattva vartmanam kuyoginam no avitaratya lamvaraihi sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachyuto. When the Supreme Lord, who is actually glorified in choicest poetry, when he is described by great devotees, mahan mukhachyuto, his glories are emanating from great devotees, bhavat padam bhoja sudhakana nilaha, they carry the saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of the Lord. Krishna's lotus feet are always carried by his devotees in their hearts. the dust particles from his lotus feet will emanate from the devotee's mouth. Right? So, what is the effect of coming in contact with those sound vibrations coming from devotee's mouth? Smritim punar vismrita tattva vartmanam. What is the tattva of a jiva? Jivera sarupahai Krishnara nityadas. Being the eternal servant of Krishna is the constitutional position of every jiva. That is the tattva. But a conditioned soul has forgotten it. Vismrita tattva. So for such a forgetful conditioned living entity, smritim punar, his memory will be revived. Right? Glorification creates revival of memory. Vismrita tattva vartmanam. Kuyoginam no vitaratyalam varaihi. And this kind of effect is not possible for kuyogis, persons who are devoid of devotional service. So therefore, I need no other benediction but opportunity to hear from the mouth of pure devotees. Right? So, you see, by hearing it, the forgetful living entities, even bad yogis, kuyogis also, gradually remember their eternal relationship with you. Other benedictions are unnecessary. Vitaratyalam varaihi. Like that. So hearing from a pure devotee relieves the living entity's memory of, revives the living entity's memory of eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. Maya makes the living entity forgetful of his own existence. But a pure devotee who is always in service of the Lord reminds him of the living entity's connection with God. And also, his own tattva as servant of the Lord. So, although the pure devotee's speech is just an articulation of his voice, right? There are some whatever vocal cords here; they vibrate, and sound emanates. Whether pure devotee speaks, or whether a karmi speaks, or anyone speaks. What is happening is just a articulation of this whatever vocal organs and some sound is coming out, right? But why, what is it different from the sound of this material world? This is considered sound of spiritual sky because the spiritual world and the Supreme Spiritual Lord is within his heart, right? So his voice is spiritually very powerful because Bhavat Padam Bhoja Sudhakana Nilaha. They carry the saffron dust particles from the lotus feet of the Lord. Because they are carrying Krishna within their hearts. So their voice is not just the vibration of vocal cords. Their voice is filled with love for Krishna, affection for Krishna, concern for conditioned living entities. So when you speak from your mind, that reaches the mind of the other person generally. When you speak from your intelligence, that taps the intelligence of the people. When you speak from heart, that only transforms the heart, that reaches the heart of another person. And if you make a material sound vibration like this, you do like this, it's pure material sound, no person involved. No, you are not coming from heart. It will reach only your ears, bus, and it will only irritate you. Getting right? It's pure material sound. And sound is also at four levels. So there is para sound, sound from made by mind, sound made by the whatever voice, the external organs, sound organs. That's at one level. Second level is sound of mind. Next is sound of intelligence. Then sound of Atma. Right? So, which is not easily perceivable. The four levels of sound. Reference 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, one purport it comes. So pure devotee is directly in connection with the Supreme Lord, so from there it's coming. The spiritual sound is para sound. Then vaikari sound is, I think, the external material sound. So para, vaikari, and there are four technical terms. I don't recollect the thing now. If you can find in folio, you can share with others now only. For a conditioned soul, that's why it is very important to hear from the mouth of a pure devotee. So conditioned souls, or the living entities in the material world, are called kuyogis. They are vismrita tattva. So this sound will transform those kuyogis into suyogis. 26th verse. Yashashivam sushrava arya sangame yadrichhaya cho apasrunoti te sakrit katham gunagno viramed vina pashum shriryat pravarve gunasangrahechaya. Read the translation.
My dear highly glorified Lord, if one in the association of pure devotees hears even once the glories of your activities, he does not, unless he is nothing but an animal, give up the association of devotees. For no intelligent persons would be so careless as to leave their association. The perfection of chanting and hearing about your glories was accepted even by the goddess of fortune, who desired to hear of your unlimited activities and transcendental glories.
Yashashivam Sushrava Arya Sangami. This is another beautiful verse. He says, my dear Lord, Yashaha, your glorification. Shivam, it's all auspicious. Krishna's glorification is all auspicious. Asesha Sanklesha Shamam Vidhatte Gunanu Vada Shravanam Murari. All the distresses of the hearers are vanquished when they hear Krishna, Krishna Katha, Krishna's qualities. Yashashrivam Sushrava Arya Sangame. In Arya Sangama, in the association of advanced devotees, if you hear Krishna, Krishna's glories, then it causes all auspiciousness. Yadrichhaya chopa sruneti te sakrit. So, yadrichhaya, somehow or the other, by chance, we just happen to hear from pure devotees. Cha upasrunoti. Upasrunoti means you hear. Te sakrit. Even once if you hear like that, even once, somehow or the other, if you hear Krishna's qualities in the association of pure devotees, it causes all auspiciousness. Right? Katham gunagno vinaved vinapashum. Katham gunagno means one who appreciates good qualities, gunagna. Such a person, how can, viramed means to withdraw, to cease, to stop. How can a person who appreciates good stop that activity of hearing from devotees? Vina pashum, unless he's an animal. That means basically he's saying only animals will restrain from hearing Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. Other people who have some good sense, some common sense, some intelligence, some good quality, some appreciation for something good, such people always hear about Krishna in the association of devotees. Shriryat pravarve gunasangrahechaya. He says, even Lakshmi Devi also desires to hear your unlimited glories. There are so many other verses in this connection. So Shrir. Shri means Lakshmi. She underwent so many austerities for the association of gopis. Right? So there is always a gradation in the devotees, and the younger are like less advanced, or people who are on the lower stage. So those devotees aspire for the association of devotees who are little more advanced. Right? So although there is no bar for others, Aryan family very quickly catches the essence of spiritual life. No bar. Europeans, Americans, Indians, tribals, anyone can be connected to Krishna consciousness. However, it's easy for people to catch Krishna consciousness if they come from Aryan civilization. Means like some cultured family. Now, suddenly somebody from some strange background will just manifest. Then it takes a while for him to pick up all the devotional regulative principles and all. However, he definitely has the possibility to pick up. But someone who is already trained in mode of goodness, since childhood he has been hearing Bhagavatam or just worshipping Krishna, he knows what is what, then he can pick up very easily. That's what Prabhupada is saying. Okay, next. Atha bhajetva khila purushottamam gunalayam padmakareva lalasaham apyavayor eka pathi spruthokalir nasyat krutta
चरणैकतानयो
I wish to engage in the service of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to serve just like the Goddess of Fortune who carries a lotus flower in her hand. Because His Lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities, I am afraid that the Goddess of Fortune and I would quarrel because both of us would be attentively engaged in the same service.
Atha bhajetva akhila purushottamam atha, therefore, I shall worship the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, he is declaring his desire. Worship the lotus feet of the Lord. Gunalayam, he is a reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Padmakareva lalasaha, to serve him is the aspiration of even great goddess of fortune, Lakshmi also. So, now he had some concern about it. Apyavayor ekapati spritho kalir spardha. A competition could happen between me and Lakshmi because she wants to serve Krishna's lotus feet. I also want to serve Krishna's lotus feet. There could be a competition and conflict between us. But nasyat krutta charanaikatanayor. So if at all there is some, I'm afraid he expresses concern, but in the next verse he clarifies that also. I'll discuss this purport after doing the next verse. Jagajananyam jagadisha vaishasam Syadeva yat karmani nasamihitam Karoshi falgya pyurudi navatsalaham Svayeva dhishnye bhiratasya kimtvayam Jagajananyam jagadisha vaishasam. You read the translation.
My dear Lord of the universe, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is the mother of the universe. And yet, I think that they may be angry with me because of my instructing upon her service and acting on the very platform to which she is so much attached. Yet, I am hopeful that even though there is some misunderstanding, you will take my part. For you are very much inclined to the poor and you always magnify even insignificant service unto you. Therefore, even though she becomes angry, I think that there is no harm for you because you are so self-sufficient and you can do without her.
So, 27th verse he said, I also desire the same service as Lakshmi is doing, but if there is a conflict, you will take my side. Because you are Urudhyena Vatsala. You are a very great person who favors your own devotees than even your wife. Right? So you will take my side and even if she leaves you, you are self-sufficient. Yat sevaya charana padma pavitra redum sadyakshata khilamalam pratilabdhashilam na shrir viraktim apimam vijahati yasya preksha lavartha itare niyaman vahanti. You know this verse, no? 3rd canto, 16th chapter. Although Mother Lakshmi is not inclined, is having so much of fan following, and although Vishnu is not inclined to accept her service, still Lakshmi is behind him. Because Vishnu is self-sufficient. He can produce a child without Lakshmi. He can produce Brahma without Lakshmi. Why does he need Lakshmi? He is highlighting that part. Now we need to understand how can this Prithu Maharaj very boldly get into a competitive spirit with Lakshmi directly. So, in short, Lakshmi is in Madhurya Rasa, Madhurya Bhav, and Prithu Maharaj is in Dasya Bhav. So, there is absolutely no question of competition on the platform of Madhurya. So, you may render the service at lotus feet only, but your Bhava is different, her Bhava is different. So, on her Bhava you can never serve. So, there is no conflict, or there is no rasabhas, right? Because he is not aspiring for her bhav. He is aspiring for a service which is similar to that. So this should not be taken literally. It has to be taken little more sportively. He is speaking directly in front of the Lord. Lord is not offended. Why are you getting agitated? That's what Acharyas say here. So Lord is Akhila Purushottama. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of entire creation, right? There are three kinds of enjoyers. One is conditioned, one is liberated, one is eternal. Both the living entity and the Lord are eternal, and the Lord is eternal of all eternals. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam in the 27th purport purposes. Anyway, some details are there about Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva and other things. So in spiritual world also there is competition sometimes. But that competition is not filled with envy or malice. We cannot bring down this two verses that Prithu spoke to our level. Oh, ye seva kar rahe. Maharaj ka seva kar rahe. Maybe Maharaj ka seva karunga. Not like that. So that's not the, he is doing duty seva. I will also do duty seva. Not that way. But that competition and envy could happen in immature sadhakas or even materialistic people. But his competition is not filled with any malice. So no one is envious of others' excellent service, but only aspire to come to the platform of that service and try to improve themselves. So Lakshmi is an ideal wife. Now the asli mal has come. Keep it with you. So she takes care of Narayana in every detail. So she serves the lotus feet of the Lord. Like there is household things then to be done, cooking, fanning the Lord when the Lord is eating, all that she does. And she is mother of universe also. And not angry with the insignificant devotees. Right? Still Prithu Maharaj, for his personal protection, appealed to the Lord to take his part. For example, in Satyavrata Muni's mood is that he said, the Lord may ask him, what is your qualification that you are asking me to give Sakshat Darshan? Akshidrishya, he said, right? What is it? Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu Prasida Prabho Dukha Jalabdhi Magnam Kripa Drishti Vrishtyati Dhinam Batano Grihanesha Mamagnam Edi Akshidrishyaihi. You please, I said, Manasyavirastam, manifest in my heart. But no. You manifest right in front of me, my eyes only. I want to see you face to face, he says. So that would mean that the Lord will ask, what is your qualification that you are asking me direct darshan? Are you qualified for such a privilege? Then devotee is definitely humble at heart, but he is also eager for mercy. Two things. Humble at heart, humility and eagerness for mercy, eagerness for darshan will not conflict with each other. He is humbly eager. He may seemingly pushing the Lord. Here also Prithu is humble only. Right? But there is also some kind of humor involved. So what did Satyavrata Muni immediately say? You have given so much of mercy to Nalakovar and Manigriva. Right? You tatha prema bhaktim svakamme prayacha. You have given him mercy, them mercy. What qualification do they have? He's getting into negotiation mode. You give me also same thing. Then he said, oh, Lord may still reject. Right? So he may think that I am adamant. So better I go to Radharani. Because Nalakovar and Manigriva had the recommendation of Narada Muni, Lord accepted. If I go through Srimati Radharani, the topmost devotee, highest, not even Narada Muni, he went to Radharani. So if I take her recommendation, he will not reject me. So Satyavrata Muni spoke. Right? Out of their like genuine love and devotion to the Lord, certain bhava, certain emotion that they hold, and their eagerness for Krishna's mercy, some of the poets and some of the devotees may speak like this. We cannot imitate them. Right? So sometimes some devotees who are very close to, say, very senior devotees, like say gurus or maharaj, so they may kind of get into a like jovial conversation or kind of getting into like demanding mode. You cannot take those things literally. They have, their relationship has become so sweet that they can speak like that in front of such senior people also. Kya bro, aap class dete nahi? How can you say? He has some schedules and all. Because of that intimacy, things happen. That intimacy should not be taken as disrespect or whimsical attitude. That intimacy, and that person who is receiving that word, such senior person, he is also not offended. And devotee is also said in a very non-malicious, very honest, innocent way. Right? So like that, Prithu also is having a thing. We cannot evaluate everything with your technical analysis. Aisa kaisa, aisa ka, aishwarya mood pura. So 29, 30, 31. There are three more verses in the prayers. It's 128. I think I'll stop here. The next speaker will continue. Tomorrow who is speaking? I think Gaurambiari Prabhu. No, Madhumadhu Prabhu. He will continue.